from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and I'm live from my fiance's lash and makeup room, and I feel like I'm a little under the weather, so if my voice sounds messed up, then hey, it's because my nose is stuffed up, and I'm sure everyone really needed to hear that. But we got lots to talk about. We're talking Halloween in August, because Mickey's Not So Scary kicked off. We got more HHN news, but we're going to kick it off. We're going to switch it around a little bit and do pop culture news first.
Yeah, and apologies because it looks like the live stream is not working. But we'll make it up to you, I promise. I just looked on our Facebook page, and it's not working. So apologize for those that are listening to this. Once it downloads, but we'll make it up to you, I promise. We've waited long enough, we ran into some technical issues, I got some new equipment here and stuff, but I'll make it up to you, I promise. So, anyways, like Barry said, we're going to do things a little backwards. We're going to talk real quick about a new Star Wars trailer that, when did it come out? Because when you sent it to me, that's when I found out about it.
I want to say it was Thursday or Friday it came out this week. The first real trailer for Star Wars Resistance came out. It's got a different animation style than Clone Wars or Rebels has. Definitely has a different look. I liked it. I mean, it's supposed to take place before The Force Awakens. As you follow a new recruit.
Oh, wait, never mind. You have to go live on Facebook. I figured it out. There we go. We're live. YouTube instantly goes live.
Ah.
On OBS. And Facebook, you go live on OBS, but then you actually have to click go live on Facebook. So here we are. Sorry about that. We figured it out.
Yeah, look, we're live.
The wife just came in and looked at me and gave me the evil eye. Hey, we're live on Facebook, and we're talking Star Wars.
Star Wars Resistance. The trailer came out, and the look is different than the Clone Wars and Rebels. You know, the story sort of follows a pilot who is recruited in the Resistance to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. They haven't revealed too much. We got a little bit more in this trailer. I like the look of it. I know there were some mixed feelings about the look of the show. I guess some people felt it looked a little more for kids, which, you know, that was the same complaint that was made about Clone Wars and Rebels, too, so
I kind of like the animation style they're going with this. I mean, it's not too kiddish looking, I don't think.
I expect this to happen because we're going to end up having between, you know, the Disney Channel, the cable channels, and then the streaming service, we're going to end up having probably multiple Star Wars animated series going on. So I'm totally cool with each one having its own specific look.
Yeah, but I watched it, and I like the animation style. It looks like something that, you know, me having kids, I'll be able to sit down with Jordan and you know, maybe even Connor, him being 4 or 5 years old, and sit down and watch it. You know, it's more Star Wars content. I'm happy, you know. Hey, it could be worse. We could not be getting anything. There are those people out there that complain that we're not getting enough Star Wars content, or we're getting too much, sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's you know, it's brought by so far the Lucasfilm Animation Group hasn't really done a bad thing. I mean, Clone Wars was amazing. You know, Rebels was amazing, and that made more sense for them to carry the same style because Rebels was sort of a, you know, sequel to Clone Wars. Because it had some of the same characters. So this is its own thing. It takes place in its own, you know, and it's in a period that hasn't been explored yet. So I'm all for new Star Wars, and it will premiere on Disney Channel on October 7th of this year in the fall.
Yeah. The I lost my train of thought here. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to get things going here behind the scenes. So.
But that's pretty much it for the pop culture stuff this week. So we're going to move right straight into theme park land. And we definitely have plenty to talk about. You know, I mean, one of the biggest things that came this week was all the way up in Canada, where Canada's Wonderland announced the Yukon Striker dive coaster. So, I mean, that's coming in 2019 to Canada's Wonderland. It'll be the world's tallest, fastest, and longest dive roller coaster when it opens next year. So the
I saw the, you know, as far as all the big Cedar Fair announcements were coming, it was known for a while that Canada's Wonderland was going to get a big coaster for 2019 with all the work that was going on and everything. It was just took a while to figure out what kind of coaster it was. And then it slowly, the rumors narrowed it, the rumors and everybody talking and seeing what was going on. They started to narrow it down to a dive machine. And, after seeing it, it looks like it'll give Valraven a run for its money. So, I'm excited about it. Not that I'll get up to Canada anytime soon to ride it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, you know, Canada's Wonderland is one of the parks I have not gotten to. And it's one I definitely want to go to, and this gives me even another reason to want to go there. I think Cedar Fair really realizes how important that park is to the chain. I mean, it is one of the most visited parks in North America, and they're giving it a ride it deserves. You know, I mean, it's going to be the fastest dive coaster at 80 miles an hour, the longest at 3,625 feet, and the tallest at 245 feet, and you drop into an underwater tunnel. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, the animation for this thing, this is what we've been waiting for when it comes to dive coasters, of something that is just this huge and takes the potential and the speed of that these coasters have, and just really gives a gigantic layout.
Sorry, real quick, let me apologize to the people on Facebook. I guess you were echoing Barry, but I think I fixed it. So apologies, but you're not sounding like you're floating out in outer space anymore like we started. Sorry about that. But yeah, no, and I haven't seen a vertical loop. I think it's going to be one of the first ones with a dive machine with a vertical loop, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know exactly.
I can't recall any other dive machine that has a vertical loop, so that was a cool addition. First half looks really exciting, and then in typical B&M fashion, the second half tends to, you know, after the break run, there's a dive down, and then the little helix, and then the break run. But the first half looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you got a couple of airtime hills on this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely looks impressive, and I mean, It's a big addition. You know, it's not only are they adding this coaster, they're creating a new area called Frontier Canada. You know, they say this addition was 37 years in the making. It was originally planned and designed as one of the five themed sections for when the park opened. It'll represent the rugged Yukon backcountry of the late 1890s. And so the Yukon Striker will join other rides such as Lumberjack, Flying Canoes, Mighty Canadian Mine Buster, Soaring Timbers, Timberwolf Falls, and Whitewater Canyon. Gosh, where have I heard that name before? As the signature attractions in this newly themed section of the park. So, you know, not only are they getting that, they're also getting a Winterfest, which will start next year in 2019. So, I mean, the park will be transformed into a winter wonderland, with themed areas, Christmas trees, lights, ice skating, entertainment. You know, pretty much what, you know, Cedar Fair has been going to the different parks and adding Winterfest. So,
yeah, I want to get up to Carowinds and check out their Winterfest, because it looks like it's a pretty cool event, what they put on there. So it's cool to see a park in Canada, fitting that they get a winter event. So
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to be pretty cold. But
yeah, talk about seasonal weather.
But you know, this is all coming in 2019. So I mean, Cedar Fair is putting big time money into Canada's Wonderland, which with the attendance that park has, it's definitely deserved. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there, but from what I've seen from other people, it looks like it's a really great park. They got, aside from Yukon Striker coming next year, they got some great coasters there. They got Leviathan.
Yeah.
They have a really good selection of top quality coasters there, and Yukon Striker will be another addition. So, kudos to them for investing in something like this, because it looks like it'll be a winner for them.
Yeah, and so moving on, we might as well talk another little bit of Christmas thing we wanted to squeeze in here, is that SeaWorld Parks has signed a deal to keep Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and friends at their Christmas events. They got a 5-year extension, which will keep them at the Christmas events through January of 2024.
Yeah, that was really interesting when they announced that, because there was all those rumors of Universal getting the Rudolph rights.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the Rudolph rights are interesting, because it's like there's a company, I guess Character Arts, that own the rights to the Rudolph characters, whereas Universal, through buying DreamWorks, has the library, the actual specials themselves.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of convoluted thing over you know, who there's the rights to the specials and there's the rights to the characters, so you know, it is sort of convoluted as to who owns what. But now SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and Sesame Place, their holiday celebrations will continue to have Rudolph and friends through January of 2024.
Yeah, and we might as well go ahead and mention the Fiesta thing, Aquatica, really quick, too. They announced a new... It's really interesting that SeaWorld's kind of expanding this specialty kind of festival event to their water park.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, they're basically doing, you know, a Latin festival where they're going to have different Latin foods, music, DJs, you know, all kinds of different entertainment during the month of September. I think it's the food I believe was going to be available every day, but the entertainment will be on the weekends. And you know, it's another festivals have done really well for SeaWorld, so you know, it's another example that, you know, they're trying different things to see what works. And you know, SeaWorld is very popular with the Hispanic and Latin population, so I mean, why not try another festival for Aquatica in what's usually a slower time of the year? So,
yeah, it was really interesting that they decided to kind of knock the whole festival thing over to Aquatica and do a little something over there. So that'll be something cool to check out, because Aquatica is a great park as far as the locals go, and now that people are going back up north, you know, back to school and everything, this will be a good thing for the locals to check out as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a fun park, and it gives you another reason to check it out, especially in September.
So moving
on to, gosh, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't talk about Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah. We're getting there. I feel like we've been talking about this for a lot longer than it seems.
it seems like almost every since the Stranger Things announcement, almost every podcast, obviously except for the ones where we've had special guests on, some special guests, we have talked Halloween Horror Nights. And we got another announcement this past week, and not really a surprise, we sort of knew this was coming, was Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, is coming to Orlando and Hollywood. It's based on the fourth installment of the slasher series created by John Carpenter. The maze will transport guests to the suburban town of Haddonfield again.
Yeah.
On Halloween night, again.
taking another trip.
Where Myers has escaped Smith Grove Sanatorium and is hungry for revenge. And this time he's stalking his niece, Jamie, as his next victim, stopping at nothing to kill her. You know, and this is not surprising. It gets some people are definitely felt like they were disappointed that this isn't based on the new Halloween movie, but based on some post on Twitter from the Horror Nights creative people. It's a long story. From the rumor I've heard, there's multiple rights holders when it comes to Halloween, and people have to, at least with the new Halloween, and people have to sign off, and one of them wouldn't sign off on it, from what I heard.
Oh, you're talking about the new Halloween coming out with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. So, you know, they're I look at it this way. You're getting a Halloween maze this year. Halloween is hot right now. People are excited for the new Halloween movie. And this ties into the overall 80s theme, because this Halloween movie takes place in the 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween 4 isn't one of my my top Halloween films. But
no, I mean, I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch it myself, because I don't remember exactly what happens in the film, like any details, but I can remember that it wasn't one of my favorites. It's got that cheesy 80s film to it. But
yeah,
going back, you know, on a Halloween Horror Nights perspective, we haven't really gotten a bad Halloween house. So I have faith in the team over there at Universal. You know, even if the movie isn't that great, the house is going to be spectacular, because every time we get a Halloween house, it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, both Halloween houses have been excellent. I mean, they're you know, based on their announcement, you know, you'll go through the mental hospital, you know, they'll go where he attacks his first victims. It looks like they're using the actual score from the movie. You know, and of course, as usual, you can expect Dr. Loomis to show up at some point. And so, I mean, it's they've yet to go wrong on a Halloween house. Both of them have been excellent. So I expect another great house. And like I said, it ties into the whole overall 80s theme. And you may not be getting a house based on the current Halloween movie, but we're getting a Halloween house. And I mean, this is already, we got two houses left to go here. This is already a block. I think going in, I can't remember the last time this many houses have been, like, you know, hyped up as much as it is this year.
Yeah. We got two more to go though, so we're getting there.
Yeah, I expect that, and based on what some people have said, we might get the last two within this coming week. So,
speaking of which, I was actually shocked that we got the announcement during Aventura week last week, or this week, I should say, because it's still Sunday recording this. But I didn't think we were going to get any sort of Horror Nights announcement because of the Aventura grand opening and everything. But
well, even at the Aventura, the media event, they revealed a few pictures of some of the current construction of the houses. Some of that stuff came out on social media. And I guess the other thing that came out this week is the name of the Academy of Villains show. It's called Cyberpunk. We got a description, which is a wicked mix of dance, acrobatics, and theatrics. Academy of Villains is back for an all-new performance of pounding synths and neon lights, which makes me think it's going to be 80s themed, which I think someone said online that it is 80s themed.
Like one of the people from the show, or just somebody?
I can't remember who it was. I'm... Remember, right now I am hopped up on antihistamines and decongestants, so
I can't really trust you, can I, tonight?
Mm-mm. But it would make sense. It would make sense for it to have an 80s theme. You know, I will be interested to see if they bring in a couple of outside acts, maybe a couple of outside circus-style acts Because it can't all be dance numbers. It's because it's supposed to be, at least from what someone told me, at least a half an hour show. So yeah. it's and obviously it's going to be more elaborate because they're in the Fear Factor Theater. So you know, this is a big step. This is it. We're stepping into a new world this year with Halloween Horror Nights with no Bill and Ted, and only having one show.
Yeah.
Even though it did come out this week for as far as scare zones, that Vamp 85 will have a New Year's ball drop, and that there will be like a band and an alternating band and DJs.
Yeah, I saw those
on a stage. Which is the funny thing is, like, before that announcement, a couple days before that, I was like, you know, it would be cool if they had like a band in Vamp 85.
Yeah. But we got two more announcements. What, about three weeks till it kicks off?
Three and a half ish.
Right now, decorations have started to go up in the park. We'll get out there eventually. I was just, you know, this weekend was crazy with Mickey's Not So Scary, and
follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, because we'll be posting videos and pics of all the scare zone construction.
Yeah, we'll get out there and check it out. But they started Central Park construction with the pumpkins and everything, so it's happening. We're getting there. So, all right, I think we're gonna dive into Mickey's Not So Scary now.
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly working, but we were both at Mickey's Not So Scary on opening night, and I'm going to let you talk most about this, because I got to experience some things, but you got to experience most of the new things. So,
yeah.
Where do you want to begin?
I'll kind of give you a quick run through of what we did, because, you know, even with us getting I got there around 6 o'clock. So about an hour before the actual Halloween party started. And I was there for the Disney Parks blog meetup. So we also got to do the dessert party, which I'll touch on also. But when we got there, we got our candy bag and, you know, did the whole check-in thing right there on Main Street when you go to the bypass over there to the side. And we went over straight to Pirates of the Caribbean, because that was one of the first things that I wanted to do, was experience the new the overlay with the actors in it and everything, which we rode it once because it was still like 6:30 by the time we got over there. We rode it once normal, and then the transition happened and the actors were there. And this is where I got confused and a little bit let down, as people saw on Twitter that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Because there's two actors in the queue line warning you about what the heck's his name?
Gunpowder Pete.
Gunpowder Pete, thank you. Which every time I hear that, I think of Stinky Pete from Toy Story.
Well, what's funny is one of the pirates I got to interact with was Dirty Dave. So they all had their own.
Have like their own nicknames.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, I think each character had their own nickname. So. Because they had sort of a script, but they were also able to improv, too. So,
yeah, the two actors inside the queue line, there was one at the very beginning, like where the prison cell bars are.
Mm-hmm.
There was one there, and then the other one that was in the queue line was as you're walking down the ramp to be divided up into your groups to get on the boats. He was warning you about Pete. He had like a scroll in his hand, and he was warning you. To keep an eye out for him, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool so far. But then we get on the ride, and you know, I'm filming with my phone, and I'm trying to look for actors, you know, throughout the entire ride. And we get to him, and he's up on the bridge, kind of taunting. We get to Pete, and he's, you know, kind of taunting people. He's up on the bridge right before the pig scene, where the guy's like chilling out on the beach with the pigs. He's up there kind of taunting people and, you know, just kind of messing with people. So I was like, okay. So we get through the rest of the ride and there was nothing else. Somebody told me that there was supposed to be an actor in the final scene with the dog and the guys in the prison. I didn't see anybody there. I went back and watched the video I filmed. There wasn't anybody in there. Maybe we got in too early and the actors just weren't in place.
I don't know, because all we were shown, the video that I saw, that Disney shot, was the actor in the queue, the other actor in the load area, and then Gunpowder Pete up on the bridge. So that's all that Disney revealed in the video they shot.
Yeah.
That they gave to...
You know, I was a little underwhelmed with it. Was it neat to see, you know, live actors and pirates? Sure. But I was, for some reason, I was just expecting not a ton more, but because realistically, there's only so much they can do as far as putting real actors in that ride, so it doesn't interfere with the animatronics and such, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something. I mean, this is also the first night. I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously they've you know been practicing and rehearsing, and it's definitely may be something that evolves over the time of the event. You know, it's just, and you got to see it at the beginning of the night. So, and I mean, you didn't go back and do it before the end of the night. So, I mean, it's going to be one of these things where your experience is different.
Yeah, and that was
anytime
just the
time you go through. So
yeah, and that was just it. I didn't know if, you know, maybe there was an actor missing or something. So, but anyways, you know, I was a little bummed out, but it was, you know, the positive side of me thought it was kind of cool that they had actors in the ride. But you'll find later on as I keep talking here that was not my favorite addition to Mickey's Not So Scary. So after that, we kind of walked around and we hit a few candy spots and kind of got some. We put some weight to our candy bag because you can't go to Mickey's Not So Scary and, you know, not hit at least a few candy spots.
And I believe what all the candy now is exclusively M&M Mars.
Oh yeah, you can tell Mars is a sponsor because they're all over the place.
Except for, I believe there are some vegan there. If you ask for it, there are like vegan options that you can get.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw that on Twitter. Like they're like individually bagged or something like that.
Yeah.
So there are vegan
options in the candy, but yeah, I believe it's all exclusively M&M Mars candy. Which actually, I mean the initial thing they gave you on when you go through the bypass on Main Street, they gave you this whole package of candy that had a bunch of new stuff, because it had the white chocolate Twix in it, and had dark chocolate Twix, which was really good.
Yeah, I got that. It had the caramel M&Ms.
Yeah, so
that was like a full size bag. That wasn't
I mean it pays to get there early because they only do the bypass part like I believe until 8 o'clock. So you get there early, you get a head start on candy, and really the other thing too when we talk about the Halloween party is the meet and greets. And if you want to do certain characters, you got to be at that gate lined
up there early
before 4 o'clock to get in,
especially Jack and Sally.
Yeah, both Jack and Sally, and I believe it was Moana too, they both all started greeting guests before the start of the party. I believe I saw Jack and Sally, they were already greeting guests around 5 o'clock, because the line was already, goes from, it's the gazebo that's behind the Christmas store in Liberty Square, and it went around down the bridge and almost to the entrance to the bridge of Adventureland. The line for that.
Yeah, some of the characters just get absolutely insane as far as the wait time goes. So like Barry was saying, if you're planning on going to Mickey's Not So Scary and you have specific characters you want to meet, get there early.
If you want to meet Jack and Sally or the Seven Dwarves, or Moana, those are really become, I think right now, are the three big ones that people, and Elvis Stitch is a pretty popular one too, but especially Jack and Sally or the Seven Dwarves, you need to get there at 4 o'clock and line up.
Yeah, but me being the huge Haunted Mansion fan that I am, I had everything mapped out, ready to go, and luckily, all of the Halloween themed, Haunted Mansion themed magic shots are pretty much right there in Liberty Square. They have the, and you, all you guys saw me posting them on Twitter, fangirling. The first one that they have, I think that one's more in Adventureland. It's literally right there where Adventureland kind of transitions into Liberty Square. The Gravediggers were out. They had two Gravediggers out, which were on rotation, and they were posing for photos. And then they have a Hitchhiking Ghost one, which came out really cool. I love the way mine... I like mine so much, I use it as my Twitter header profile picture thing.
Yeah, the Gravediggers are an actual meet and greet.
Yeah.
And the Hitchhiking Ghost is a magic shot.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to confuse. Yeah, the Hitchhiking Ghosts are actually guys with shovels and, you know, real people. And then the Hitchhiking Ghost is a magic shot, so, you know, they pose you and they say, look this way and turn this way. And then new this year, and I think this is new, they've never done this, is a Hatbox Ghost one. Yeah. Where you sit down on a stool, and they tell you to look a certain way, sit a certain way, and they take your picture, and when you look at it on your phone or your computer or whatever, your head is inside the hat box. You know, the hat box ghost is holding. So that was awesome for me because I'm a huge hat box ghost fan. So I had to do all those. So we did pretty much those, and there's a few over right in front of the Haunted Mansion. You got the lantern one where you actually hold a lantern in front of the Haunted Mansion sign. And then you've got the hearse one right in front of the Haunted Mansion, which, you know, if you're going to Mickey's Not So Scary, these are really cool ones to get because they're Halloween themed. You know, aside from the characters who are dressed up, some of them are dressed up in Halloween attire. These are the really cool Halloween photos to get. Anyways, we did that, and then I believe after that, it was time for the dessert party, which was really cool. I enjoyed it, because they basically had, during the dessert party, the Hallowishes dessert party, which is held in the Tomorrowland Terrace, just like all the other fireworks shows, dessert parties that they have at Magic Kingdom. But they basically make, like, miniature versions of all the treats that you can buy in the Magic Kingdom, but you get them there, but they're just like in miniature form, like the Doom Buggy, Whoopie Pie, pie thing, the Dirt and Worms, which is like chocolate pudding, the Jack Skellington cake pop is turned into like a little thing that's in a cup. All really good. They have like a s'more station. You can make your own s'mores. They had a cookie station where you can make your own cookies, all sorts of drinks. Different types of lemonade and stuff. And if sweets aren't your thing, they even have like a cheese and fruit section for those of you that for, you know, allergy reasons or whatever, they have fruit and stuff, and cheese and crackers and stuff. So it was really neat. I enjoyed it. I kind of pigged out on the desserts. And, after that, they send you over to a, roped off area to view Hallowishes. The fireworks show there. And so we did that afterwards, watched that. And then we went and did the parade. We literally did fireworks and then parade because we caught, you know, there's usually two parades during these Halloween Christmas events. And we caught the 11:15 one, which was still, it was busy. It sold out.
I mean, the party was sold out, and yeah, I was shocked how busy the 11:15 parade was, because normally that's like, there's like, you normally, at least the past times I've been there, like the late parade, I mean, there's like sections of the sidewalk that are just like empty.
That's what I was expecting to find, because, you know, the people that I were with, I was like, let me run up ahead into Frontierland and see if I can find a spot to watch it. I was like, whoa. This parade's a lot busier than I thought, because, you know, usually, like you said, usually the second parade is a lot less busier than the first parade, because everybody starts to head home or whatnot. But no, the second parade was pretty packed. So, but anyways, we finally found a spot, and we watched Boo to You, which still remains as one of my favorite Disney parades. They did a few changes this year. There's some characters. I can't remember. I think it was
they moved Peter Pan off the pirate ship.
Yeah,
and Tink is on top of the treasure where I believe Jack used to be, and they moved Jack and Barbossa
to the pirate ship. Yep. And then Clarabelle Cow, she has a new outfit too.
She had a new outfit, and Rapunzel and Flynn were also leading off the parade, in the group of characters that lead off the parade.
That's right, yeah. So a few little minor cosmetic changes to the parade. Nothing really big was added this year, but always fun watching it. We live streamed it on our Facebook page, which, by the way, has like almost 20,000 views. I guess there are people out there excited about Halloween in August because they've watched.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just that. It's like that is for many Disney fans. That is, especially Magic Kingdom fans. That is their favorite parade. It's my favorite parade.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can only get it at the Halloween party. They don't show it at any other time, and it's such a cool parade. Yeah, I mean, the Haunted Mansion section alone is amazing. So,
oh, I could get up and leave after that. No. yeah, the Hitchhiking Ghost float and the Tombstone float, and the, of course, the my buddies with their shovels scraping it up. The Grave Diggers sparking it up. So, and then you got the ballroom dancers, which is always a cool part, too. So, after that, we left and we headed over to Deep.
But you did before we get to that, there's another new addition this year.
Oh yeah.
The Mad Tea Party.
Got
special lighting and a music soundtrack, and you got to ride it. I got to see it, and from seeing it, it's amazing what they did. I mean, it's really impressive. The lighting package was way better than I ever thought it would be. And it had different music soundtracks.
Yeah, they
it just wasn't the same one every time.
Yeah, there's different audio they added, and they added a ton of extra lighting, and it's like professional, like stage lighting. Like, it's just not like I don't know whether kind of lighting they would use, but it's like serious. You know,
it's moving computerized lighting.
Yeah, it's not like they just threw up some extra spotlights here and there, but it's all computerized. It all moves. And yeah, I wrote it. Mr. Machado, I'm calling you out here. He about killed me on that damn ride because he was spinning it. And I could do roller coasters all day long, but whew, those teacups messed me up something fierce. But no, it's really cool what they did. Unfortunately, also over there in that area, I want to spend time in the Disney Junior Dance Party.
Dance Party?
but I wanted to go over there and take a quick look at it, see what it looked like, and, you know, just kind of see how it was. Unfortunately, we didn't make it over there because by that time, we were kind of running out of time. And so after the tea party, I think that's when we headed to Space Mountain.
Yeah, to Deep Space Mountain.
And this was about when you ran into me, so we were hanging out, and we kind of closed out the night with Deep Space Mountain. And like I said earlier, Pirates is not my favorite addition to Mickey's Not So Scary this year. This is. And I posted a little snippet of our video on Twitter of our thoughts on it as we were leaving. And it's so hard to explain because there were a lot of people on Twitter saying it wasn't their favorite, but I was like it's pitch black, and that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have had some, you know, dark rides on Space Mountain, but I've never had a ride like that where once you leave the load area and you have the one stop before you get to the tunnel. Once you leave that area, it is out, except for the infrared cameras in there. There's no lights.
And your on-ride photo. Yeah, you see the on-ride photo.
And your on-ride photo, which barely, but when you see the photo at the end, it's barely bright enough because there's no lights turned on. I mean, you literally go, once you go past the flashing lights of the on-ride photo, it's pitch black dark, and it's you cannot see your hand in front of your face. you know, and as someone who's ridden that ride well over probably 100, 200 times, it still got, there were still a couple of drops in there that got me that I just couldn't anticipate at all coming.
Yeah, because, I mean, your eyes with the regular Space Mountain, your eyes eventually adjust to where you can make, you can predict things, and you're able to go, okay, here comes this drop, here comes that drop. But there was something about the, I don't know what they did, the minor tweaks that they did to make it pitch black in there. But you really get a completely different feeling riding it versus regularly, which again is dark, but it's not pitch black. Like this, you can't see the hand in front of your face. It's that dark.
Yeah, no, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was the most fun ride I've had on Space Mountain in years. And I love some of the California kids were like, oh, they just turned the lights off. You did, you know, yes, it's not Ghost Galaxy. But we can't, you know, because we don't have on-ride audio, really can't do something like that. I mean, the soundtrack they use is basically was sort of like a techno rock beat going on, thumping the entire time from the speakers that are out on the ride.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, but, you know, Space Mountain in Pitch Black Dark was pretty awesome. It was definitely one of the highlights of out of the new stuff, one of the highlights of the event.
Yeah, no, I really, you know, as simple as a change it was, just making it pitch black and add in the different score, which I didn't really recognize because I was so amazed by riding it in the pitch black. I kind of noticed the soundtrack towards the end of the ride, but no, it was definitely the highlight of the event for me. And I think I'm going to go back here in a couple weeks with the kids and the wife, and I'll definitely have to get my oldest Jordan on it because he's going to love it. But yeah. It's pitch black. They don't have the lights on in the vortex tunnel, whatever you want to call it, at the beginning with the blue lights. The lift hill doesn't have lights. It's really cool. So, and the wait wasn't too bad. It stayed, what, 20, 30 minutes all night?
Yeah, and when we, by the time we went on at the end of the night, it was like a 10-minute wait.
Yeah, so. It wasn't too bad. So,
you know, I mean, and it's definitely one of the highlights. You know, we also got to check out some of the Hocus Pocus villain Spectacular, which to me is definitely one a must see at the party. It's one of the best castle stage shows that they've ever done, and it's definitely the best show they've done for any of the Halloween parties. It's, you know, you get the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus, you get all kinds of villains. It's a really well done show with live singing. It's not all taped and recorded.
Yeah, when we watched it, when we caught the, I guess it was kind of the middle of the show when we caught it. I had never seen it because, you know, it had been a few years since I'd been to Mickey's Not So Scary. So I was glad we caught at least a part of it, and I really liked it. I liked the you know, who doesn't love a show with all the villains, you know, because you don't, my thing with a lot of the Disney villains, I mean, aside from, you know, Cruella and a few others, you don't see the villains a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
Unless it's Halloween time. So any opportunity I get to see the Disney villains, I take it and I love it because and this one even has Hades, which is really cool.
Yeah, and they even do some of the villains in a different style. Like Captain Hook is actually done by a face actor.
I saw that, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that."
Same thing. Hades is a face act. You know, I mean, they don't have masks on or anything. They're made up.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. I knew that they did that, but I forgot, and then I saw it the night we were there, and I was like, "Oh yeah, they do face characters with a few of the villains, like Hook and Hades and that sort of thing." So. Mickey's Not So Scary this year. It's always a fun time. It's my favorite hard ticketed event. Just between the holidays, Christmas and Halloween. Halloween, in my opinion, blows Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party out of the water as far as what you get for your money. just I've and that's not me, you know. I tell people that, and people know that I'm obsessed with Halloween. Bless you. You know, people know that I'm obsessed with Halloween. I tell them that, and they're like, "Oh, you're just saying that." No. Genuinely.
No, we're obsessed with Halloween.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are, but people think that I use that as an excuse to say that Mickey's Not So Scary is better than the Christmas party.
It is better than the Christmas party.
It is. It's better than the Christmas party. So Halloween is here. Disney's kicked it off. So
yeah. I mean, our recommendations, like we said, if you want to meet and do the meet and greet with some of the big characters, get there early, and you're just gonna have to wait in line. Avoid the candy lines until later in the party. Early in the party, you're gonna be waiting in line just to get free candy. If you wait till, I'd say usually after 9:30, 10 o'clock, then there's most of the candy lines, there's no line at all.
Yeah, I didn't see too many lines. I mean, it's constant flowing.
And it's constant flowing, but even at the beginning, especially that first hour or two of the party, there's like a line. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
I can kind of
by usually about 9:30. Usually starting with that first parade, that's when the candy lines really thin out.
Yeah.
For the rest of the night, and during that first parade, that's a good time to go do some of the other meet and greets. Like if you want to meet Mickey or Minnie or some of the other in their Halloween costumes or some of the less popular characters, that's the time to get them. Because a lot of times during that first parade, there'll be like a 5-minute wait for Minnie. Where, I mean, there'll be practically walk up during that first parade. And that's a good time to hit some of the non-major characters. If there's during that first parade, Hallowishes, it's best to see it from around in front of the castle. You can watch it from Frontierland, but I still think it's best in front of the castle. You know, definitely do the 11:15 parade, and make sure you hit. I mean, definitely make sure you do Pirates, Space Mountain, Mad Tea Party, and of course the Haunted Mansion has the live actors out in front of it too. That's also a must do.
Yeah, I mean they don't really do anything special with the Haunted Mansion attraction itself, but I can't remember her name now for the life of me. I got video of her kind of ending her time up there, and she was coming down, and she talked with me.
They all have a different – it's like Madame Carlotta.
I think that was her.
They each have their own different name, and then there's different butlers that are also out.
She was hilarious, but she was coming down off her perch up there, and she chatted with me for a few seconds because she saw I was recording, and Yeah, no.
They're all great. I know a couple of the actresses who do some of the different ones, and they're all very, very talented, very funny.
And of course, the Haunted Mansion itself, you know, they add fog, they add extra lighting to the Haunted Mansion for Halloween. So
yeah, and usually the cast members on there are done up in extra makeup too.
Yeah, they got like cobwebs on them and stuff. So just that whole area right there in Liberty Square in front of Haunted Mansion's got a whole different vibe to it.
You can definitely have a good night. I mean, even on a night that it's sold out, it's just you got to go. Like anything with Disney, you got to go in there with a plan if you want to get certain things done.
There's. All the blogs out there have lists of all the characters and stuff. Just go through and make a bullet point of your priority ones and go from there, because you're not going to be able to see them all in one night. There's no way. So I would pick...
And we didn't even talk about the merchandise either. I mean, there's so much exclusive merchandise at the event. I got to check out some of it. And, I mean, we're not just talking the Halloween merchandise, which is available anytime. There's exclusive event merchandise. There's a bunch this year of Hocus Pocus stuff, with it being the 25th anniversary of Hocus Pocus. So there's all kinds of different Hocus Pocus and Sanderson sister merchandise, from T-shirts to to a Spirit jersey. They even got T-shirts that are based on each of the Sanderson sisters' costumes that are available at the event. And of course, then there's the Halloween party merchandise, from T-shirts to ornaments to pins. You know, all of this is only available at the event. And there's even a magic band, a limited edition one, that there's only 4,000 of, that for this year's Halloween party. So, I mean, there's all kinds of merchandise. On top of all the Halloween merchandise they already have. So, I mean, there's so much stuff. And there's all the snacks, all the different treats. I mean, like you mentioned, the you know, there's a cinnamon roll.
There's donuts.
The not so poisonous, the spiced apple cupcake. That looks like a poison apple.
Yeah, there's nachos and Pecos Bill. Just all sorts of. I mean, you could spend a whole day there just eating the specialty Halloween themed food.
Yeah, they brought back the pumpkin waffles.
Yeah, everybody was excited about that.
You know, and some of these items are only available at the party, but there are some things like the pumpkin the Zero Waffle Sundae, which has the pumpkin waffles that'll start being available October 1st in the park. The Worms and Dirt, which is at Pecos Bill, which is was that like chocolate pudding topped with cake crumbs and gummy worms?
Yeah.
In a Master Gracie chocolate gravestone. That'll be available in the park starting October 1st. There's some stuff that's available now, like the Mini Witch Brownie, the Halloween Cinnamon Rolls. You know, that stuff's available already. And actually, the Not-So-Poison Apple Cupcake is also available starting now, daily. So you got some treats that are exclusive to the event, and then some that are actually available in the parks at any time.
Going back to the merchandise, they've added a ton of new Haunted Mansion merchandise.
Oh yeah.
You know, which they usually do around this time again because it's Halloween, and you know, people associate Halloween with the Haunted Mansion, so they really up there, which is good for me. I mean, not that my wallet, not that I can afford any of it, but
it's not good for either one of our wallets.
No,
it's like. I've never gotten a green hoodie, but, you know, I want that hoodie. And
even though I have 600 other hoodies already. Yes,
I still want that. I love that new cartoony design that they've come out with. It's like, I want that hoodie. And
yeah, I know. I like the hoodie. And, of course, my awesome wife who's listening right now, I love you. She got me the Hatbox Ghost plush and gargoyle. Which I think was the other, that and the hoodie were really, I mean, like I said, they came out with a lot of stuff, but luckily none of it really caught my eye except that hoodie and now this Hatbox Ghost plush set, which.
And that Hatbox Ghost plush set is a limited release. It's not a limited edition. So I hope people don't get suckered onto eBay by these people who are reselling it, because it went out. It already was back in stock. After being out of stock for a day, because it's limited release, which means they will keep making it for a certain period of time. It's not in a limited edition.
Yeah.
It's an open, you know, it's so, I mean, that always confuses some people, but it's, you know, you will get your opportunity if you want to. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point it shows up on one of the apps, to be able to purchase. So
yeah, I don't, you know, with the limited release thing, they don't really announce how long it's going to be out. They just stop it, right?
Yeah, but I imagine as long as it's selling,
they're not going to stop it. Yeah,
you know, so
if it's selling, don't stop it.
But yeah, this year has got to be the most new Haunted Mansion merchandise I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And speaking of all that exciting merchandise. We have and the Halloween party. We do have a bunch of videos up on the YouTube channel. We have the Gunpowder Pete video from Pirates of the Caribbean at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We have a separate Halloween merchandise, Disney World Halloween merchandise, and treats video up on the YouTube channel. And then we have we don't still know what we're going to call these things, but we have me along with a cameo with Sin showing up in parts of it. I went to Magic Kingdom this past week, and my favorite time to go to Magic Kingdom is at night. I mean, that's my favorite time for theme parks in general, but Magic Kingdom to me is just so much more awesome at night. Especially during the summer, summertime, because it's really one of the few tolerable times to go to the parks. But at night, it's always been much more magical at night. So with the video follows me around as we go around at night and we check out the new Halloween treats. I even buy one of the Mickey Ghost cake pops and hork that down.
I saw it when I was updating the thumbnail picture for the video on YouTube. You know how it gives you a few select thumbnails to choose from?
Yeah.
Like, one of them was you, like, in the middle of eating that thing. And I was like, oh, that's going to be the thumbnail.
Yeah, I tried one of those. We checked out all the new Halloween merchandise, the pins, the mini ears, all the t-shirts. We checked out a bunch of the new Haunted Mansion merchandise. And, of course, it's at night. You got to ride Haunted Mansion. You got to ride Big Thunder. And we checked out the decorations. That was, of course, the other big thing reason. So you get to see all the Halloween decorations, all the Halloween merchandise, the new Haunted Mansion stuff, all in our video up right now on YouTube.
Yep, we got all sorts of new videos up there. We're trying to crank out some more stuff for you guys to check out on YouTube.
And shockingly, it even stormed that night too. So
yeah, you got some cool video of the Haunted Mansion with the lightning behind it. That was on our Twitter page, which actually did pretty well on there. A lot of people liked that video.
It's in the video. It's in the YouTube video too. Lightning behind Haunted Mansion and Cinderella's Castle.
So, I think that's it, sir. Correct?
Yeah, that is it.
Sorry for the late start tonight. Like I said, for the audio issues, we're trying some new things here with some software and hardware. So, thank you guys again for bearing with us as we figure all that out. Thank you. I'm new to this whole tech stuff, so but I'm learning. So anyways, all right, let's get out of here.
So we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow the Facebook page, and you can check out the live stream we did of the Boo to You parade right there on our Facebook page. And we are youtube.com/thrillgeek. And like I said, check out our Gunpowder Pete video, the Disney World Halloween merchandise and treats video, and of course our lovely vlog where I check out Magic Kingdom at night for the Halloween decorations, merchandise, treats, Haunted Mansion stuff, ride some rides, part of our more and more content coming to the YouTube channel. And we are thrillgeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And click on our podcast link on our thrillgeek.com page for the latest podcasts. And as usual, we're on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can probably get a podcast. You can probably hear our podcast.
That is correct. We're all over the place, even on Amazon Echo. Say, Alexa, listen to the Thrill Geek podcast. All right, guys, thanks again for listening and bearing with us today with some of these technical issues. But we'll have it streamlined and better next week. Thanks, guys, again for listening, and we'll see you again.
See you in the parks.